Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode number 521 of the Bold and Brave Her podcast. Now, today I'm joined by Jen Danzo, and Jen is a clinical specialist, physical therapist at the Cleveland Clinic Rehab and Sports Therapy Center. And she has more certifications than I've ever seen in my life, including scoliosis and osteoporosis, PT, and oh my gosh, it goes on forever. And she's even still in academia, pursuing a Master of Science in Health Informatics. Oh my gosh, you're busy, Jen. Welcome to the Her podcast.
Super busy. Thank you for having me.
All right. Now, Jen, you and I are actually doing another project together, but I was absolutely thrilled to be reading my Wall Street Journal the other day, and there you were, you little famous person, you. And it was all about posture. Oh, now, okay, everyone, sit up right now. Just sit up. Go ahead. All right. Get that perfect little posture thing going. Okay, now, science shows that people, after they've been told to correct their posture, last 10 seconds before the whole thing goes to hell. Basically, they just lose it. They lose the mindfulness around it, and they're right back to where they were before. I have been absolutely astounded at how true that is. Have you ever just walked along and you said, oh my God, I'm right back to that horrible posture again. I just told myself, I just tried to correct myself. What is up with that? Well, this article was fabulous. Now, it starts out with something that I absolutely love. And that is, well, first of all, they mention that ballet dancers are constantly reminded of their posture and they spend 24/7 in front of mirrors that constantly remind them of what they look like. I'm a graduate of the San Francisco Ballet Academy, and boy, I can tell you some horror stories about that. All right. So, yes, you learn to be able to get a pretty good posture from all that. That's pretty cool. However, people need almost shock therapy to be able to understand what their posture truly looks like. You recommended, Jen, recruiting friends, family, coworkers, and exercise buddies to surreptitiously, I think that means you're sneaking it in there, take photographs and videos from various vantage points throughout the day. While sometimes humbling, if not a little horrifying, such 360-degree views can be incredibly instructive. I'm going to tell you, I flipped out when I read that. Why? Because I'm writing my next book, and I had already come up with that idea because someone did that to me. And to this day, I'm not kidding, I was actually on an elliptical doing my exercise and whatever, right? And I didn't realize, you know, here I am thinking I'm so athletic and I'm on the elliptical and everything. And then they took a picture of me on the elliptical. I was beyond horrified. And it was something I could not unsee. I didn't realize I was actually hunched. And it was weird, because there's a certain sanctimonious part of me saying, well, you're exercising, you've got everything going for you, girlfriend. And then I looked at the picture, I said, oh my God. And to this day, it's one of the first things I think about when I wake up in the morning. I go, I am not going to that place. Where did you come up with that idea?
So some of the training that I've been to, one of the things you mentioned that I'm a Schroth physical therapist, really uses the feedback of the visual images of the patient to give the patient that kind of cue, that thought that is like, oh gosh, this is what I look like. And without that knowledge, I mean, you can only see yourself from the inside, not really the outside. So you can't see those asymmetries that you have. So the photos and the videos are really that kind of, for you, like it was, Pam, that drive home message that says, oh gosh, I've really got to do something about this. I see, I understand now what you're talking about.
Oh, it was shock therapy. I mean, I just stared at it and I said, oh my God, delete this sucker. I don't want anyone to see this. I literally freaked out. So my idea, you know what it's like? To a certain degree, it's the same shock thing that happens when you say, I'm in absolutely perfect shape. My body fat percentage is excellent. I just, whatever. And then someone takes a picture at some event and they send you the picture and you look at it, you go, what? You know, it's like a more shock therapy. It's like, well, maybe we weren't exactly as 100% as we thought we were. That type of thing where you can't unsee it. It just sort of slaps you across your cranium and there you are. And one of the things you mentioned was something called Schroff therapy. And for people out there who don't know what that is, this is basically a very special therapy that's utilized by experts like Jen, who's certified in this, to help people who have curvature of the spine. And if you think that's a rarity, here's some numbers for you, all right? And this shocked me because I've actually done Schroff therapy and it's kind of wild stuff, right? After the age of 40, right around the age of 40, in your 40s, about 30% of people do have some level of scoliosis, which is the fancy word for curvature of the spine. Well, that's a shocker. It's like, what? Now, it doesn't mean like you're all curled up in a pretzel. It just means that something's starting in there. By the time you hit 60, it's over 60%. And then it just sort of continues from there, which means that when we're thinking about posture, we're looking at everything from scoliosis, or basically some level of curvature of the spine, as well as issues of your bones, like osteoporosis, right? So how many of your patients are people like that?
A lot. So a big percentage. So those are my two big specialties. So most of my patients have either scoliosis or osteoporosis or both. The research even says that there's a high correlation between the two. So if you're an adolescent or a teenager who has scoliosis, the likelihood for you to develop osteoporosis later in life is more than had you not had scoliosis. So there's a pretty big correlation between those two. So even if you got it when you were a teen during your growth spurt, having osteoporosis later on in your life is likelier than had you not had scoliosis as a teen. So that all of this is so tied into each other.
I'm really drilling home a little bit on this because I don't think a lot of people out there knew this. I think when they're thinking about a healthy posture and an unhealthy posture, they're just thinking, okay, some young computer type who's kind of hanging over a computer board and doing what I love to call turning into a cashew, just all curled over and back and forth. Or exactly, the head forward in front of the shoulders is the worst thing you could do, also because of that weight. What goes on with that whole neck thing?
Yeah, they compare the weight of your head to a weight of a bowling ball. I guess it depends on how heavy your bowling ball is, but they're 9 to 15 pounds, right? So think about that heavy weight on a neck that's forward. So our neck was not meant to support the weight way out in front of it. It was meant to support the weight over top of it. So that's one of the key points of an optimal posture is earlobes over shoulders, because if they're in front of your shoulders, then is when you're putting that extra stress and strain on the upper part of your spine.
And then what happens to the spine? If you keep doing that,
then changes happen. You keep doing it. It doesn't hurt if you bend your finger back once, but if you bent your finger back all day, well, heck yeah, it's going to hurt. So same thing with your head. You got to like look forward for a second so you can see something on the screen a little bit better, then that's okay. It's not going to hurt you. But if you're like looking forward the whole day with your head so far in front of your body, it's going to do some damage and it's going to change the structures there. It's going to make some things short and some things like longer than they should be, some things weaker, so that it's going to change the structures and the function of your spine.
Exactly. And so every time I see anybody bent over their device, I just want to cry, because for sure, I'm kind of flashing forward in my mind what they're going to look like and feel like in X number of years. I was working with a Marine. Obviously, the thing is, he's no longer in active duty, but once a Marine, always a Marine, Semper Fi all the way through. All right. And I was, you know, he is in magnificent shape, all the training and whatever. And I said, how in heaven's name can someone just hack this whole posture thing? And he smiled this wry smile. He looked at me and he said, one of the easiest things I ask people to do is, instead of when you're walking, looking down, look straight ahead. So when you look straight ahead, I assume, you tell me if I'm crazy, it's easier to assume neutral spine position. So I can't do it. If it's sort of like, what's so interesting on the ground that you keep staring at the ground when you're walking your dog? It's like, look ahead. And so I tried it. Oh my gosh, it was like an instant correction. So what is this neutral spine he was talking about?
I kind of started to talk about that a little bit earlier. So a neutral spine is, we have an inward curve at our cervical spine. That's called a lordosis. Then we have an outward curve at our thoracic spine. That's the area between our collarbones and the bottom of our ribs. That's called a kyphosis. And then we have another inward curve at our lower back. That's called another lordosis. So it's this like S-shaped curve from the side. And that S-shaped curve is what's neutral, because that's what our body's shock absorbing mechanism is that neutral spine. So I like your idea of looking up where you're going and not looking down and how much that helps. I tease my patients all the time. I say, I already picked up the $50 bills that people dropped on the floor. There's none there for you. So look up, look up. So I've used the same strategy as you use, Pam, and it seems to help a lot. And again, just think about that heavy head. If you're looking down, it's going to carry the whole center of your gravity forward. It's going to change your balance even. So people get unsteady on their feet if their head goes in front of their feet too. So there's a lot of things that posture can affect, not just neck pain or back pain, other things as well.
It's not just walking. When we look down, I remember when I was marathon training, every now and then I kind of like, what am I doing here? And then I decided to just have some fun, because I wanted to look around like, oh, there's a beautiful cardinal that went into a tree, you know, keep myself busy looking around while I'm running, because it's far more interesting than staring at a bunch of gravel or dirt or whatever's out there. It's just weird how we default to all the bad things.
Yes.
You know, we're like staring down, turning into cashews and all these things. So a physical therapist in this article said, make the wall your friend. And that is, what does that mean?
So that therapist used a strategy that I use a lot too. So if you put your back against the wall, you should be able to touch your head to the wall, keeping your eyes level. So I use that exercise or activity with a lot of my patients. Their tendency, if they have a head forward posture, is to try to get their head to the wall by looking up. So I always say, like, pretend you have like, most people wear glasses. Pretend you have the legs of your glasses as laser beams. They should not point upward when you pull your head back against the wall. So that's another place where we can get our shoulders in the right place too, and even our legs in the right place. So if your hips are tight, your hips can be tight because of bad posture, and you can try to work gradually your hips back to the wall too, or your legs back to the wall, like shoulder blades and butt touches first, but then the rest of the things are a work in progress, the head and the legs. So that's a way that you can, to quote that therapist, make the wall your friend.
Yeah, and just be patient. I think people just want it all to work right away. And no, it takes a while. I remember the first time I did that, I'm like, okay, got the shoulders, got the butt, and then the rest of it's just trying to happen here. And it took me a while to really get pretty good at that one way or the other. Now, tell me if I'm crazy here, but the way I like to correct posture, my posture, and I do this all the time. And so I'm getting a free consultation here, everyone. So I'm sharing it with you. What I do is I'll take my shoulders, roll them up to my ears and roll them back and let them settle there. And then all of a sudden it's like, I feel different. I feel more uplifted, and I feel like my chest went forward. So am I doing the right thing? And what am I doing here?
You're doing the right thing. So up and around and backwards does set your shoulders back in the right place. So I often give that as an exercise to people. They always question me, well, why don't we go forward? Because then forward promotes that rounded shoulder posture. So if you're going to do shoulder circles, it should always be that opening backwards, up and around and backwards movement. So yeah, Pam, you're doing it right. That's how I tell you to do it. So good job.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm doing a little what I love to call, Jen, MSU, make stuff up. And so, you know, it's like, if I don't have an expert like Jen Danzo in front of me, I just make it up based upon wild and crazy lived experiences, desperately trying to get this whole posture thing down. And so dynamic stretching helps too, doesn't it? So what is that?
The difference between dynamic stretching and a static stretch is dynamic is kind of a moving stretch or a more functional stretch. So things like, think about what the track team might do when they get ready for their track meet. They might like swing their arms and lift their knees high. So all of that is moving the muscle through its full range of motion and allowing it to get loose through the full range of motion. So a static stretch is just a very stationary or not moving stretch. And it only kind of stretches the muscle in the position that it's in. So it doesn't necessarily apply to real life movement. So if you're going to stretch your hamstring with just resting your foot up on a chair or whatever, that's great. It'll help loosen you up, but it'll help loosen you up better if you're kicking your legs up, keeping your good posture, or maybe swinging your arms opposite.
Why is posture important? I mean, why are we even having this conversation in the first place? Why is this important?
For function. So to keep our bodies healthy and in good position, we need to make sure that we have our best posture. So it can lead to injuries. It can lead to things like migraines if our head's in a bad posture. Posture is very, very important. You can even think of like an athlete who's trying to do their sport with a poor posture is not going to be as effective of an athlete as if they had best and optimal posture. Think pitchers, right? It's baseball season right now, my favorite sport. And if a pitcher doesn't have the best posture, he is not going to get that ball over the plate like he wants to. So he always works on making sure his muscles are loose through their full range of motion and that he's in the right position so he doesn't injure himself. So it's important from grandma to the pro athletes, everybody.
Okay. So when I'm improving, when I'm trying to improve my posture here, something I'm also thinking about is the future. Like you're laying down a foundation for excellent posture so that you don't fall, because it's easier to fall when you're imbalanced. You know, your head's hanging over like a vulture. And eventually, if your bones experience changes because of rotten posture. And so suddenly your back is curved and that's not good. That's clearly is going to place you off balance. And eventually, especially if you're a man or woman, especially women, if you end up with some level of weakening of the bones, decreased bone density, then you could also fracture your vertebra in your spine because you're so hunched over, and this puts unprecedented burden on your spine. Is that correct?
It is correct. Yes. Yeah, so science has shown that flexion of the spine, so that's forward bending of the spine, puts the vertebral bodies or the main part of your backbones at risk for fracturing. So what happens when someone gets a fracture is that vertebral body, instead of being a square, turns into a wedge. So think about a whole bunch of squares stacked on top of each other. It's a nice straight line like our backs are supposed to be. But then when we end up with some of those wedge-shaped vertebrae stacked up on top of each other, instead of a straight line up, it ends up being this big curve. Like think a dowager's hump, right? So an old lady with a lot of osteoporosis and spine fractures probably has a dowager's hump. Or go back to that word that I used before, kyphosis. She has a lot of extra kyphosis in her thoracic spine because she's got a bunch of those wedges. Yeah, hunchback. So she probably bent forward a lot, causing a lot of those fractures. And then those fractures cause the postural changes. So it's one of those like vicious cycle kind of things. So if she had moved well years and years ago and had prevented the kind of deformities that she got in her spine with those wedge fractures, she would probably look better today. Her bones may have still gotten weak, but she may not have ended up with the fractures. So that's kind of a early in the lifespan problem leading to a late in the lifespan problem, if that makes sense.
No, it makes all the sense in the world because I think a lot of people just live in the moment and they're not thinking about the future and future consequences. So when we come back, I'm going to be asking you, what are the muscles that we need to strengthen and stay on top of to be able to achieve that powerful posture? The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back. And we're back. Okay, Jen, answer that question. What are the muscles? So people are saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to head to the gym right now. What do I work? What are the muscles that are really critical to stay on top of to achieve that excellent posture we need to maintain our health?
Yeah, maybe I'll start at the top and work the way down, right? So some really great ones are deep neck flexors. Those are the ones that kind of help us to flex our neck. You can do things like a head nod or a lift laying down. Then working down to the shoulder blades, all of our postural muscles that help control our shoulder blades are really good ones. So like a row, a TheraBand row would be a great one. And trunk extensors where we're like pushing backwards or laying on our stomach and prone lifting our back up off the table or our chest off the table. Those are great ones. Our core is important for everybody. So like our abs and our obliques, those are ones that kind of give your low back the most support and can really help with posture. And then our hips. So our glutes are something that like everybody neglects. So Pam and I are both runners, and runners like to use the muscles in front of them, but not the muscles in back of them so much. So we really got to make sure that we hit those glutes, not just runners, but everybody. That's a weak spot on a lot of people. So that's kind of a up to bottom.
Jen, I go crazy over my bridges. So the bridges are superb. Most people don't know, and you obviously are the expert, that the glutes are the biggest muscle group. So when I do my bridges, I'm like cranking those suckers on a daily basis. And the bridge is just so comfortable, so wonderful. I just do it on my mat, and I could do it with one leg, both legs, you know, however you want to play the game. I could do it with weights on my belly.
Yep. Or a rubber band across your hips.
Exactly. Exactly. And you cannot do enough. I mean, those glutes will take a beating. They're not like, oh, I'm so weak and I can't do it. No, it's like beat them up, because they love all this stuff. I actually do one ballet movement, which I kind of love, and that is I could either do it holding on to something or not, and I simply straighten one leg behind me. You know, let's just say I start in about first position, and then I just put one leg out, point on the ground, and then I lift it. Doesn't matter how high you lift it at all. It could just be 30 degrees, whatever. But when you do that, it isolates the glute so long as your knee is straight. It isolates the glute. And man, you could just do up, down, up, down. I just do toe touches. And until my glute is screaming for help and rescue. It's like, stop this woman. She's killing me. But I can't tell you how happy I am about that, because I can really feel like I'm engaging it. And then the core and the rest of it is really important. I have to be much better about making certain that all my devices are more at eye level. What do you recommend for people, you know, who are on computers, iPads, iPhones, or any smartphone, whatever? What's the key here for maintaining a healthy, neutral spine?
Yeah, so when you're working on a computer, like a desktop with a monitor, your eyes should be near the top of the monitor. So that allows your head to be in the right position. So if you have to look down because your monitor is too low, or you're working on the laptop, that kind of puts you at a risky position for your neck. So then you want to make sure that your armrests of your chair can keep your arms at about a 90 degree angle. And then same thing with your hips and knees, they should all be at about 90 degree angle too. Your hips should be just a hair lower than your knees. And if you're short like me, or some people like to call it vertically challenged, you should put something under your feet so you can get that angle. So they make some things that go under your desk that you can achieve that with. Because if your chair is too low, then it puts extra strain, it makes you flatten your back. So those are all really good adjustments that you can make to your office chair. Unfortunately, these days, a lot of people are working from home. So I talk to a lot of people about making sure you're not working from your like kitchen table or your couch or your bar. Yeah, bar
your
height,
bed.
Stool. Yeah, you would be amazed at how many different places people are working from, and they come into PT complaining of their neck and back pain. A lot of it can just be fixed by making sure they're in a more ergonomic work environment. So buy a proper desk chair and a desk that fits their needs instead of working from crazy places like the couch or their bed.
I have a little back pillow. It's kind of a long back pillow that I bought, and I literally take it with me when I travel for the airlines, for trains and whatever. And even those horrible restaurant chairs that have straight backs. It's like, are you kidding me? My feeling is that, of course, it's a conspiracy to get us out of there faster because you just can't stand it anymore. But so I'm always thinking about that. But I've always wondered, all right, there was a whole craze there for a while. Maybe it's still going on. I don't know. Where people were sitting on exercise balls. Does that even work?
In a way, yes, it does, because it forces you to be more active with your sitting. So it helps you to turn on muscles as long as you don't forget to turn them on. So if you end up sitting like a cashew, to use your word, on your exercise ball, it's not going to make any bit of good. But if you sit there and it gives you more reminders to, hey, pull those shoulders back, make sure your head's in good alignment, make sure your low back is, it has the inward curve that it should, then sure, if that's what helps you.
I love it. I tried it for a while and actually had a lot of fun. I found myself bouncing along on it. You know, I was like bouncy, bouncy. And when I did that, it just sort of corrected my posture. Because when you bounce, it's not like you're bouncing with your face to the ground. And so, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, it sounds like an SNL skit or something. But seriously, that was kind of interesting for a while, but I much prefer really good back support. It just feels better to me. And I think that people out there really need to pay attention to this and invest in your back and your posture now, because it really gets to a point, doesn't it, Jen, when you reach a certain age? And that could be, I mean, I've watched people who are 50. I saw a woman the other day, who's a colleague of mine, shocked the hell out of me when I saw her, because she was someone who always did the neck extended like a vulture with the head out thing. I don't know why she did that. Very attractive woman, slender and really otherwise fairly fit and whatever. But she had this weird habit. Now she's starting to develop the hunchback. And a number of us noticed this at a recent science meeting, and I was just shocked. And I was hoping to God someone would let her know that maybe something needs to be done here before she really lets it go. She's so slender, I think that she's sort of a setup for osteoporosis. And so that's only going to make the whole thing worse. So here's the other thing. Oh, you're going to love this out there in the Herb Podcast land. Do you want to drop about 5 pounds around your belly right away? Like, boom. Okay. Then sit up, stand up. Now, watch what happens. They actually had a famous model, Kate Moss, who I think everyone knows, you know, is this little skinny thing. Well, that's kind of redundant. She's a model. So what they did was they took a picture of her when she was kind of cashewed out. She was kind of like bending over and everything. And son of a gun, she had a belly. In other words, when you scrunch up like that, your belly becomes more pronounced. And we were all like, oh my God, shocked. And then when she uncashewed and stood up, it was like this tall, slender waistline. And so if you want to look better in terms of just appearance, then straighten up right now and look at the difference. Just do it in the mirror. It's really quite striking. And then when you say, oh, I can't really zip up my pants and everything. Yeah, you can, so long as it's just a matter of you being cashewed out. If you are cashewed out, just stop that and now try to zip up. See how much easier that was? Does that make sense? Do you ever talk to your people about that?
I do. And I am really going to have to add that cashewed idea into my phrases because I love it. But yeah, it's crazy how much of a difference that makes in your waistline when you sit up tall. It is amazing. So yeah, I could see how that would be something that would be seen in a model. Even if you're slouching, everything gets scrunched up there. Yeah.
Well, the other thing too, and I know you've seen this a million times, is that when a person comes in a room, you can have a big committee meeting or whatever, and it's something important. And when they come in the room and their shoulders are back, they have a nice proud posture as they're entering the room, suddenly you're like, whoa, like who is that? That's a proud posture, very powerful posture. It's a power pose, and it's a really important one. Notice how, you know, when people are up on stage and they're being interviewed by whomever, and they're both in chairs, the person who's slouching looks terrible. It just looks terrible. And somehow you lose credibility. You know what I mean? So you look better if you really want to feel powerful. This is why, and I'd love for you to comment on this, I believe that it's a really powerful mind-body issue. When I've worked out and I'm, you know, I've lifted weights and whatever, and then say in the morning or something, then later on I have a meeting and I'm walking in a room, I'm feeling like, I'm strong and I'm powerful and my posture's awesome because I feel my body as being strong because I worked out and I feel really good and I kind of know where all my anatomical parts are and it's feeling good. So that's a real mind-body thing. And then that then reinforces keeping up a better posture. What do you think about this mind-body thing?
I think you're totally right. Like, put a picture in your mind of someone you think of as shy. Like, is someone that's shy up and strong with good posture? Probably not. They're probably like hiding and kind of a little bit trying to slink into themselves. But then, you know, think of someone in your mind who's strong and powerful. They're not slouchy like that. So yes, there definitely is a mind-body connection. And I think there's even been some studies about people's mental health in their posture. So people who have depression or anxiety tend to have worse posture than people who don't. So which came first, the chicken or the egg? You don't know, but you would think that making a difference in one could possibly make a difference in the other too.
Yeah. And I think people are not conscious of what they look like. This is where this whole issue of the mirrors comes in. People are not conscious of what they look like when they're feeling down, what they look like when they're like, they just got the best news ever, when they've maybe achieved something, little epic triumph in our life, and all the rest of it. And what I'm arguing for is more of a real conscious awareness of your body. There's actually a scientific term for this, and that's interoception. And interoceptive people, oftentimes like athletes and ballet people and all the rest of it, they know where every single muscle is in their body. And if something's off, they'll be the first ones to let you know. Other people walk around like their heads are being carted around by a body and there's no connection there. And whatever's happened to the body is like, oh, that's a surprise, you know? And I think I'm arguing for, even if you weren't born with strong, strong interoceptive powers there, that you can develop them, that you could become much more aware by doing little tricks. When I'm out and about and there are mirrors around, like I might be shopping with friends, I might be traveling and, you know, I'm in an airport and there's mirrors, you know, how they have crazy things and whatever, I'll just kind of walk by and I'll look at my posture. And then I'll correct it if I have to a little bit more. I'm really conscious. And then I kind of memorize what that looks like. Like, how is that looking? Et cetera, et cetera. So there's that. Now, another question, little practical questions. So for women, since this is the Her Podcast, what in heaven's name do high heels do to posture?
So if you think about center of gravity, right? So when we lift ourselves up on our toes, because we have high heels on, it shifts our center of gravity forward. So we have to make the compensations to actually get it back over our feet. And that does affect our posture for sure. So yeah, high heels, I don't know if they're the best for posture. I would say no, because again, it just messes with all those curves that we're supposed to have that keep us upright.
Exactly. Which is why I'm just really thrilled to see that ballet flats are back. And
yes.
Oh my gosh. And even if you have a little teeny little bit of a wedge, like a kitten slip on or whatever, nobody's going to die. That's not going to kill anybody.
Exactly.
But the heels, I don't know. I'm like reevaluating my entire inventory of very nice heels, but I don't know. So when I did the Oprah show years ago for the first time, we were laughing because when we came out on stage, she had a pair of shoes, high heels, that she was carrying in her hand. And meanwhile, she was wearing flip-flops. And I said, And I said, meanwhile, I was already in my heels because that's what you did. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, oh, these are my stage heels. I just put them on when I'm sitting in this lovely, comfortable chair and everything. The minute the show is over, these suckers are off and I'm back in the flip-flop. And I'm like, uh-huh. So that's kind of what... Oh, yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing now, especially as I want to get more and more comfort and kind of keep my feet very comfortable, too. But at the same time, I'm just going back to that powerful posture. Want to have it, got to have it. And I think everyone out there has to keep in mind that this is a real journey. This is a work in progress. If you think that right now, this moment, you got it, man, you got it. You know, you're going to have the best. No, don't be ridiculous. It's going to take you a while. It's taken me a long time to learn to what I do is self-correct. I will self-correct 100 times a day. I'm constantly doing it. Just as I've been standing in my studio at the screen, I've been correcting. Probably watch as I move with my shoulders back and forth. And that's because I need to stay aware and conscious of my whole spinal column. I don't have vertical challenges like you do. At 5'9", that never happened. So if anything, it's a little wonkier for me because I have more to have to control. I have a longer spine. And so there you have it. There's just more of me standing up like a tall flagpole. So I got to be on it. So for everyone out there in the Herb podcast land, I hope we kind of beat you over the head with the fact that your posture means so much. Everything from appearance to drop that extra 5 pounds immediately from your waist and try it. It's really so true. And then, and the very fact that you probably don't know what you really look like when you're cashewed out at your desk or wherever you are. And so I would like to challenge every one of you to find someone in your life, a best friend, your partner, whomever, and tell them at some random time without telling you, all right, that just take a picture or a video of what you look like when that person thinks that you have the worst posture ever. It worked for me. Okay. It was a horror I can't unsee. So it is constantly a front of mind. So I'm thinking about that and I don't want to go back to that again. Same thing will happen to you guaranteed. So try it. It really, really works. And I want to see you all course through your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s and beyond, nice and tall and looking very powerful and confident and feeling very mind-body together. That's my wish for you. Right, Jen?
Exactly. It's not easy, but it's doable. So keep trying. Like Pam said, give yourself reminders all the time to use your good posture.
In the Wall Street Journal article, they quoted you as saying, there's always opportunity for improvement. I think a lot of people feel maybe a little hopeless, helpless, and defeated when it comes to this, especially if they've been at it. So is it really true that it's never too late?
It's never too late. Everybody can work on their posture. There's something everybody can do.
Yeah, just, you don't have to live in a gym. Just small little things. Do like the Marines do. Look straight ahead, for crying out loud. Look at all those military people just looking straight ahead and look at their posture. I don't ever see someone in active duty looking like they're a little cashewed out, because I think it's beaten into them that they've got to maintain that proud posture all the way through. All right. I just love this. You know something, Jen? I could talk posture with you forever in a day, but unfortunately, I cannot. Everyone, we have been talking to Jen Danzo, and she's a clinical specialist physical therapist at the Cleveland Clinic in the Rehab and Sports Therapy Center. Jen, I cannot thank you enough for being on the Her Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun. Thank you.
Okay, listen, we're going to drag you on here again and again and again, because I cannot tell you how many PT questions we have going forward. So we're looking forward to that. Excellent. Oh my gosh, she's going to be a repeat offender. Yay. All right. And at the same time, I want to thank my sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, rooted in nature, and the new Her Life Stages products. And listen, we were talking about bones today, so they have a Bone Complete product that I live with. It's got everything you need for healthy bones. So scoop it all out at Solaray.com, Solaray.com. And now take a moment and leave us a review, because I don't know, we just love to hear from you. Just saying. This has been a production of Podcast Health. Here's a little reminder for you. You know, your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So come on, get on out there, seize the day, and in this case, do it with good posture. Thanks for listening, everyone.